we pray and then sing some of these songs. You want to start for us this evening, Will, if you would, please?
Yeah, no, I thank the first place here at your house, and we're beautiful, and we're blessed. Our prayers, supplications, and all things, Lord, we pray in your sight, Lord, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank you for saving souls, Lord, mightily and powerfully. You're still Christ, saving and loving of our souls, Lord. This was mightily powerful for the city, Lord. Raise the name of High, Lord, and bring people in the churches, and save them by any means, Lord, by the Spirit, by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, Lord. This was mightily powerful, Lord. Wherever the churches are starting even now, or are starting already, Lord, use that Spirit to convict souls of their eternal destinations, Lord, and say them mightily and powerful, Lord, as well, Lord. Bless Marcus come to deliver the gospel. Give a touch of the Spirit, Lord, and touch our souls, Lord, and our mind and our heart as well, Lord. And be with our number. Give us health and well, Lord, and cause us imagery tonight. For our honor, for our good, for these Christ again, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Time to hit the hymn books. Let's try the big one to start with this evening. Yeah.
Glasses to help you see,
which
I didn't bring. So,
oh, anybody another pair of glasses I can stick in front of my glasses so I can see what I'm doing?
No.
281, folks. Let's do 281. 281 in the big books. Pass me not, a gentle Savior. Stand as we sing. Two verses. Thank you, Will.
Turn tonight to Isaiah chapter 37. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the others of the priests covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, Thus said Hezekiah, The day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring them forth. It may be the Lord thy God who hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will repeat the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto him, Thus shall ye say unto your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, for if the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me, behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumour, return to his own land, and cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Dimna, for he had heard that he was departed unto Lachish, and heard say concerning Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, he has come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Israel shall not be given unto the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard that what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, and Gozan, and Haran, and Rezeph, and the children of Eden, which were in Tel Lashar? Where is the king of Hamath, and king of Arphad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Helkinahela, and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and the countries, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Thou therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. And Isaiah the son of Amos said unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee, and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed, and against whom hast thou exalted thy voice, and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? By thy servants hast thou reproached the Lord, and hast said, By the multitude of my chariots I might come up to the height of the mountains, and to the sides of Lebanon, and I will cut down the tall cedars thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the height of his border, and the forest of his Carmel. I have dirt and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of the sea's places. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times I have formed it? Why have I brought it to pass that thou shouldst be to lay waste the fair cities and to ruin the heaps? Therefore the inhabitants were of small power, they were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, and as the green herb, and as grass in the housetops, and as corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. Because I rage against thee, and thy tumult has come up into mine ears, therefore will I put out my hook in thy nose, and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. This shall be a sign unto thee. She eat this year such as growth of itself, and the second year which springeth up the same, and the third year sow ye, and reap, and plant vineyards, and eat the fruit thereof. And the remnant that is escaped from the house of Judah shall again take root downward, and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they shall escape out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall return.
I shall not come up to the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend the city, save it for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth, smote in the camp of the sinners 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. It came to pass, as he was worshipping the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adram, Melech, and Hazrezah, his sons, smote him with his sword and escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esar Haddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. Amen. That's the one that I would refer to from time to time about the Lord smiting 185,000 soldiers in one night. The Lord can do those things. Just want to remind you all of the little green prayer list. If you have anything, John, if you have anything you'd like to add?
Just change my mouth back and shoulder or stomach.
Just stomach.
I do. Any private prayer requests? Yeah. Good job. Right, we'll have another wee word of prayer, and then we'll sing a song or two, and then we'll open our Bibles. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you, Father, for giving us a lovely day. Thank you, Lord, for the pleasantness of it all, for the sun coming in the windows, and for your Son being preeminent inside, Lord. And I pray that that would be the way it is here in all houses of worship across the land. But even in those places, Lord, that do not really preach the gospel, that souls would be reached simply by the reading of your word. Please bless us and watch over us. I pray that you would minister to our needs this day, that you would give us our daily bread, that you be with Ling and Dr. Shang, Frank too, for Colin, Lord, I pray for his life, for Christine and Mary Ann, the rest of the folks there under the care of Glenn Wilkinson, for Carol and Stephen, for John and Catherine, and of course for Rebecca and Sean and Warren. Pray for Pat and Steve, and Norman, of course, as well, for us, for all of our brothers and sisters across the world, wherever they're just sitting down praying or lifting up your praises, or even right now getting into the preaching and teaching of your word. I pray you bless them upon. For Israel, Lord, that divine shield and provision would be all around them, Lord, at every turn they would be protected, and that all those that hate her would continually be confounded. Father, I pray you too, just for some specific prayer requests for the folks in Will's work that he has brought before us in prayer this morning, for Norman and the finishing off of this legal case, Lord, I pray that you would go before him and fight every single battle in the hearts and minds of every single soul involved here and give him the victory. And I pray, Lord, too, for Christine and Mary Ann, for prayer requests there as well, for all of our private prayer requests. And Lord, most importantly, for your will to be done. We pray for life and health and strength, and for the good weather to get things done around our homes. And more importantly, Lord, for the remembrance of your word whenever it comes to telling folks about the great things that you've done. Thank you for loving us and watching over us, for giving us of the Holy Spirit and your ear, Lord, whenever we need you. And we thank you, Lord, for your ongoing work in our hearts and minds. Please don't be done with us, Lord. We love you and thank you, and we leave these things at your feet with a private prayer request, and pray that you would grant them according to your will. Amen.
Amen.
All right, it's hymn book time again. I can think, are there any more in there that we picked? I don't think so. Did anybody pick another one out of the wee black book? Where are they? Hymn number 36 in the big book. This is more often sung at Easter, but it is a powerful song. Hymn number 36 in the big book is Christ Arose. We're going to stand as we sing this one. So let's make a joyful noise. And let's do our best to stoop to the lows and reach the highs whenever it comes to hitting these notes.
Jesus is the name that charms us.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles, folks, and turn to Psalm 82. Psalm 82. We are going to be spending a little bit of time on the subject of gods or God. Psalm 82, gods or God. It's only a wee shorty, but like myself, we read all 7 or 8 verses of it. It will not take us for a moment. And then I would like to bring you a few thoughts on gods or God. Amen. Psalm 86. Oh. Sorry, Psalm 82. What am I, Psalm 86? No, well, Psalm 82. Amen. The Word of God says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, who judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly, and accept the persons of the wicked, Selah? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Amen. Verse number 6 is our text. It's the verses that were quoted by the Lord in John chapter 10, further on from where we were reading this morning. And I want to spend just a minute or two having a look at that and bring you a few thoughts on the subject of gods or God. So let's have another wee word of prayer. Well, if you would you pray for us again, and then we'll continue.
Yeah, Heavenly Father, thank you for Bible reading, Lord, give us strength to be a true, Lord. We want for a number tonight, Lord. We are everything except in your sight and the order and the service tonight, Lord. We've had some ground, Lord, maybe keep sticking well, Lord, love many harm, Lord, and bring it back to church as well, Lord. Also remember Steve and his vision, Lord, help him mightily and powerfully heal him, give us strength, Lord, and heal him mightily and powerfully as well, Lord. But Mark has come to deliver the gospel, give him the Holy Spirit, Lord, and draw our souls to thee, Lord, and work on our hearts and minds and souls. Lift up the tracks and the word of people, word of mouth, Lord, the contacts of our people speaking to the lost about their souls, Lord. May they see, when we talk about Jesus, may they see the love in us that is from your Son, Lord. Jesus was mighty and powerful, Lord. Lift the church services tonight, Lord, and soon to come. Lift them and keep us safe as well, Lord. Lift the ministers, Lord, Lord, for the calls, the hands, the aspects, the biscuits, and Lord, also Mark as well, Lord, has come to deliver the gospel. Reach out to us, and Lord, and draw our minds, body and soul, Lord, to the Lord tonight, Lord. And give us a lesson and help us as we start the ball week. May we be Christ centered, Lord, and Lord, direct our paths unto thee. For the honor of our glory, please Christ be again.
Thank you, Will. Amen. All right. There are only 7 or 8 verses in this portion of God's Word. I would just like to give you a quick run through about what they're talking about and hope it's a help to you, give you something to chew on over and again incorporate into your testimony and the things that you're able to talk to folks about whenever God gives you the opportunity. The whole way through the Bible, all the doctrines of the Bible, you say there's one God. 3 persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 3 persons, but one God. Jesus said it in the very beginning whenever the Lord was creating the world. It said, God said in the beginning, let there be light, let there, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he called the light, and the seas, and the dry land, and all of these things. It was God. And it's not God standing over and saying, how are you doing, God? And says, I'm doing right. There are 3 persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, completely agreed, always in everything. And yet and all, here we have this portion of God's Word, where it seems to be God speaking to the psalmist and admitting there are other gods. We take a moment or two, it reminds me a little bit of the Beatitudes. If you remember, does anyone remember a little bit of the Beatitudes? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That doesn't mean if you're mourning that will comfort you. You're only blessed whenever you're saved by God, and it is only a soul that is saved, and whether it's grieving for a lost person or indeed a saved person, that they can be comforted by God. That is what that means. And so as we have a wee look at this, you'll see that, yes, it says, I have said ye are gods, but that's not what it's actually saying. I'm not saying the Bible means something else. Bear with me as we go on. We need to remember, too, that many people set up many things as gods in their lives. And in this present day, especially over the pandemic, there were 2 years of reinforcing the belief in that you and I were the most important things in the world. Staying away from everybody else, keeping away from any interactions, anything like that. And I don't think that did many people much good. Certainly not as far as the pandemic went, and certainly not as far as people's spiritual well-being. So it starts off and it says, God stands in the congregation of the mighty and judgeth among the gods. Bear in mind whether it is somebody, some devil that is standing up and set himself up as God, just like the abomination of desolation that they're talking about, will stand in the temple on the mount, declare himself to be God. There are many people, there are many things out there that people worship. And that is why God says, you're not to bow down and worship other gods, because he's a jealous God. He says, my glory will I not give to another, and remember it now, neither my praise to graven images. There is one God. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to God is through Jesus. He is going to say which ones are good and which ones are bad. And I've got news for you, friends. There's no other God that is good. So bear that in mind. And he goes on in this portion of God's word, and he's not speaking about good people. He's talking about wicked people. These people that set things up as gods in their lives. And asks them, when are you going to start doing things right? How long will you judge unjustly? And there's a litany of stuff. And he says, to those that care, these are the things you need to do. These are the things. And if you read these, you will see so many of the laws and the judgments in this country here and now are actually designed to hurt these people. It says, defend the poor and fatherless. And what is one of the greatest problems today in our present day and age? It's in the news and everywhere. It's absentee fathers. Young men and young people not having a father figure, a strong male role model, to show them this is right and this is wrong. And so in the absence of people with that, it is up to you and I as men to set a good example. So defend them. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Let justice be done. Make sure the right results occur. Deliver the poor and needy out of the hand of the wicked. You and I all know that the law, as they say, is a complete clown. And there are so many people. Norman's still embroiled in a 4.5-year lawsuit. And he is able to meet that lawsuit, and he is able to confound his stepson that's against him. But what if someone wasn't as up and at himself as Norman and wasn't able to do that? Who's going to stand for them? And we live in the days when thieves and criminals are literally getting away with blue murder. The Word of God calls us to stand against that, to stand up for those that are trodden down. And it might not be you today. It could come to you. I heard a little thing on the... I either read it on Facebook or I read it on YouTube, and I read it many years ago, and I think it was something along the lines of Nazi Germany. Whenever they put it into this present day, first of all, they come for the... let's say... They come for the Christians and nobody said anything because it didn't really bother them. And then they come for the white people, and nobody really said anything because it didn't bother them. And then they came for the Chinese, and nobody bothered because they weren't Chinese. And then they came for the black people, and when the black people looked around, there was nobody left to defend them because everybody else was gone. Now, it's not quite that, but you get the idea. If we don't stand together, as the Bible says we should, Christians first and for what is right and good and proper first, we'll be run over. We'll run over us roughshod. And it hasn't changed any. That's happening today. It happened, like the Psalms were written nearly 3,000 years ago, and it was happening then. We're supposed to help people. And do you know why the people do these things? They don't know anything. They're unaware of the quite literal trouble they are stacking up in a pile against themselves. Does anyone recall to mind the little verse in the scriptures that I think it was the Lord said that if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword? And if you run roughshod over everybody all of your life and you think you're getting away with it, you're only kidding yourself. Someday you'll come to the end of your life and someone will run roughshod over you and there'll be nobody there to stick a hand out and help you back on your feet again. You need to be careful. And this is what God said about these souls that are so engrossed in devilment and trouble and carrying on. I haven't a clue. They don't know that many times they've set themselves against the face of God. And that verse that we were reading in Isaiah 37, those verses, sorry, might seem like a huge and a mighty army. In fact, in that case, it was a huge and a mighty army. And they were coming to besiege Jerusalem. And God said, look, don't be afraid. And it's easy to say that. But whenever all we are able to see is the things that's right about us, and we have to trust by faith that what God says will happen, it can be difficult. And we know what the end result of it all was. God killed the whole army in one night. 185,000 men, that's the whole population of Derry, dropped dead like that one night because God said so. Many times in the New Testament, the Lord said about blind leaders of the blind. And if the leaders of the blind are blind too, everyone's going to end up in the ditch. And that's exactly the way these souls go. You've heard of the parable of the man that builds his house on the sand and the man that builds his house on the rock. And somebody might look at Norman and look at somebody else sitting in a pub, and Norman's got his home and his car, and this fella's got his home and his car, and everything's hunky-dory. But whenever the day comes, when life draws to a close, Norman has the Lord Jesus Christ keeping him in the palm of his hand. But who does that other man have? He has nobody. He has nobody except, what was it, that existential dread in the back of his mind that he is on his own and stepping out into a Christless eternity. I could guarantee you, I would far rather be where I am right now, knowing I am going to heaven like I do, than living in the biggest house in Derry with more numbers in the bank account that I could remember. I would rather have that. See the way it says there, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Does anyone remember in the verse of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Where Paul in his letter to the first letter to the church of Corinth said, there's only one foundation. There's only one foundation that is ever going to last, and last through the endless ages of eternity for the person that leans on it. And that is Jesus Christ. For other foundation can no man lay, and that is laid except Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say, let every man be careful how he buildeth thereon, and it encourages us to build upon our foundation works of gold and silver and precious stone, good works, works done for God because you love God, not to make yourself look good, because those don't mean anything in the end of ages of eternity, but good things. Do you think these souls are building, when I say this, I mean this in the right way, an edifice to God? Do you think they're taking their lives and saying, Lord, I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to do that for you, I'm going to do this for you. No, I will tell you what goes through the heads of souls like this. I'm doing the lottery, Lord, but I know 10% goes to charity. That's what, seriously. That is what goes through the minds of so many people. It's actually an advertising element of doing the lottery. Let's say 10% goes to charity. Oh, I'm doing the debt for charity. I think they actually noted that church contributions and charitable contributions, you know, like you would get the wee boxes in the streets, they dropped whenever the national lottery came in. I have heard many people say that the national lottery in every single country it is introduced is nothing but a tax on poor people who think that this will dig them out of the hole that they find themselves in. The word of God says in Psalm 37 that the little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And I already shared with you my thoughts on that and my experiences with that. We're not going to do that. But when a man's foundations might be, oh, I enjoy drinking. I enjoy a good smoke. That might seem funny. Does anyone remember an old show called Babylon 5? Or there was a guy dressed like a lizard. His name was Andreas Katsoulis. He was actually in the Harrison Ford movie about The Fugitive. He was the guy with the one arm at the very, very end. You know what they said about him? He loved a good smoke. There are people who live for those things. There might be somebody else that builds their entire life based around their popularity. Oh, if I'm not popular, I'm not worth anything. There's people like that. Or there's people that love football. I knew of a guy who came to be saved, but he couldn't get out to church on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening because Sunday was football day. Never saw him in church, except that many times in the years that I knew him. Came to be a Christian. Some people love, oh, I can't come out to church. I'll have a good run on a particular company, and I know if I buy the stocks and shares, I'll have to manage my shares portfolio on Sunday morning and Sunday. I can't go out. Or I have to tend to my houses, or I have to tend to my livestock, or I have to tend to... Remember all the excuses people gave the Lord for not turning up and serving? None of these foundations last. None of them. When death comes and taps you on the shoulder, they're all gone. Or they're gone like a puff of smoke, and they mean nothing. Whether it's you or someone you love, they mean nothing. We ought to remember that. There is one foundation, that only foundation that will last through everything, that will keep you up in the good times and will keep you up in the very difficult times, and that is Jesus Christ. All the other foundations don't work. And here we have the verse that really grabbed my attention, the one that is mentioned in John chapter 10, I think the last half dozen verses, where it says, you're gods. But note as you read that, small g. It's not big g, it's small g. And all of you are children of the Most High. He's not stating a fact. He is stating what's going on in their heads. You think you're gods. You think you're children of God. But you'll all die like men. Those are not the verses of a God speaking to his children. Those are verses of a God speaking to lost people that believe the lie that's in their heads. You'll fall like one of the princes. Like Lucifer, perhaps. Like the house that was built upon the sand will disappear. There's a lot of people set up a lot of stuff in their heads. And there's a lot of people that believe a lot of stuff that's going on in their heads. And before we go on any further, I want to tell you what practicing modern day Satanists believe. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. In other words, whatever's going up in there is the most important thing in the world. You might think, surely nobody is a practicing Satanist today. That's an old, outmoded form of worship. You would be surprised. How many people think that what's going up there is the most important thing in the world? You would be surprised how few people can actually say, hold on a wee second, let's just think this out. I might believe that, but every time I try to do that, it doesn't work. People are not bowing and scraping at my feet. People are not obeying me immediately. Gods. They're just people who have yet to understand that reality doesn't care what's going on up in your head if it's different to reality. Unless, of course, it's Doctor Who, Star Trek, or Star Wars. I'm only kidding about that. People don't care. Reality certainly doesn't care. It is a series of events that's completely impersonal. And if you believe something different to reality, it is you that is going to have to deal with it, not me. I've been a scientist my whole life. I have proved Christianity works. It's worked in my life and it's worked in the lives of those people around me that follow the teachings and doctrines of Christianity. All the other ones don't work. We looked at it this morning, all of the other religions. They fall flat on their face. They'll rob you blind. They'll take everything that you'll give. And they'll say, thank you very much, now on your way. Leave you high and dry. And I think, honestly, that is one thing that the human condition is afraid of. Being left alone. Especially as your life draws to a close. I want to give you a little bit of advice. If you know any people that are elderly, that are coming towards their golden years, be nice to them. Do something for them. Give them a little bit of dignity. Show them that they're still a person, a living soul. God loves them just as much as he loves you. And the greatest thing that you can do sometimes for someone that is whose life is drawn to a close, is just to be there and listen to them. And if they're lost, maybe even give them a wee word of scriptures. Because you know the teachings of the world, the teachings of the government are, as soon as you stop paying taxes and start claiming a pension, we don't want you anymore. Government doesn't care about you. In this modern day, as young people grow up and older, they don't want their moms and dads hanging about. Their moms and dads have done such a terrible job raising them that they don't want anything to do with their moms and dads. Well, just let them go. That is not the teachings of the cross. We are to honour our mothers and fathers. We are to help the widows and the fatherless, the poor and the needy. We ought to be different to what's going on in the world. I know life gets busy. But friend, if you're a Christian, you're going to live forever in heaven. And 5 minutes or 10 minutes, just giving someone that time and that attention and that respect, you couldn't put a price on that for a soul. Especially a soul that is, in all the media, is they're written out of everything. They're forgotten. They're disregarded. They're considered to be useless, and yet they have a whole lifetime of experience, a breadth of or length of view that young people just can't understand. We ought to be good to them. All of these souls that believe these false things, that think they are gods, that believe just like the devil in Isaiah 14. Remember what he thought? The 5-eyed wills of the devil. I will ascend above the clouds. I will, and it goes on and on about how wonderful he's going to be. But the last thing is, I will be God. I will be like the Most High. And in the very next verse says, yet you will be cast down to the ground, be like an abominable wretch. Everyone will look at you and says, this is the guy that caused us so much trouble. Caused nations to tremble. He's just like us. That'll be the folks in hell saying that. But friends, it is a difficult position to come back from for souls. I know we mentioned this morning about people being told the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And if they don't hear any evidence to the contrary, they're going to believe that. And so a person definitely convinced that they are God in their own wee minds, that everyone must buy and scrape, and sometimes it's reinforced in their parents, because their parents will get them everything they want, everything, anything for a quiet life. And they just keep believing that, and believing that, and believing that, and believing that, and as they get bigger and bigger, they believe it even more, until they do something, and they run afoul of the law, or someone that says, I really don't care what you think, this is the way it really is. And then they have a meltdown. It's like, that would be like someone coming up to God and saying, God, you're all wrong. And then the whole of reality just disintegrating. But it hasn't happened yet. A lot of people want to think that way, and my standard reply to that is, okay, I'll believe you. Whenever you put a brand spanking new apple in my hand out of midair, you want to be like God, you're God, aren't you? Put an apple in my hand, a nice, fresh, pink lady, I think I'm into at the moment. It used to be Granny Smith's, but a pink lady. Just supernatural up there into my hand. Do you know one of the first qualifications of God in the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made time, he made matter, and he made space to put it in. First qualification of God. The second qualification of God was his love for his fallen children. And his third was the salvation. You don't see that in any of these folks. If anything, you don't have a mature person that is ready to sacrifice and help those that are less than themselves. You have greedy, self-centered, short-sighted nincompoops that are good for nothing, not even sweeping a road or picking apples. Rick Warren's purpose-driven life, and I know we refer to that from time to time, he's a fruitcake. And Benny Hinn's another one. But Rick Warren, you know what they would do to get a church going? They would go into a neighborhood with a questionnaire and say, you go to one door and it's not one. What would you need in the church to come out to it? Oh, we would like an AV suite. Oh, yeah, we've got one of those planned. You'll come out and visit with us when you see our AV suite. Someone else would say, I would like a nice cup of strong coffee just before church started. We've got a barista bar going as well. I would like somewhere for my kids just to be, get my head sharp. We've got playrooms and video games and everything for the children so that they're out of the way of the preaching and the teaching so that mummies and daddies can have a rest. I always have a problem with children running wild at home. And how does their mummies and daddies expect them to sit in church if they run wild at home? It doesn't work that way. And this is how they get people into church, by giving them what they want instead of telling them what God wants for them to hear. And it's not about giving in to your baser lusts. It's about controlling them. Instead of living by... I'm going to tell you, I stood right here and talked to a man who could have burned any and all of us for Bible knowledge. And he told me, I'm going to follow my heart. And I thought, I'll give it a year before you're a train wreck. And now that guy, and he was a great guy at the time, he believes everyone's going to heaven. The Bible says different. Even his lost relatives, because the Bible says different. So he is wrong, because the Bible says different. We're not gods. That's the lie that the devil told Adam and Eve, and he's still telling us it today. And people are still falling for it, and people's lives are slowly circling the U-bend in the toilet because of it. We're not gods. We might be a little bit like God, knowing good and evil, having the desire to build or create or fix. We might be a little bit like him because we're made in his image, but we're not gods. Can anyone here, and if you can, teach me how to do it, Tell the water to stand still so I can cross the Fahan instead of having to walk the whole way around the bridge. Anybody? We're like gods, after all. Nobody has yet produced an apple out of thin air. Nobody can command the water to stand still. Can anyone make the day longer? 10 minutes? I'll take 10 minutes longer. Remember whenever, was it when Moses was fighting one of his many battles and the day went back or forward? I can't remember what it was. Can anyone do that? Stop the world from spinning just for a little bit and make sure everything doesn't shoot off into space at 24,000 miles per hour. Do you know what that means? Do you know what's involved in it? It's not just, oh, make the earth. How's about make the earth with a very tiny apple-skinned thick mantle of dry, cold rock with a molten rock core underneath it and a huge magnetic iron core right in the middle rotating so fast it produces an electromagnetic field that protects us from solar radiation. It's not just about saying let the earth come or call the animals up out of the ground. Huge amounts of work needing done to do that. You know what God said? He said in the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and chapter 6, he says to us, can you add a cubit to your height, 18 inches? Wish you could. I'd be able to look down on Norman instead of him looking down at me all the time. That would put me at 7 foot tall. Give or take. Can't do that. Lord said, can you turn one of your hairs black or white? Can you rejuvenate yourself? Can you make yourself look old? Can you make yourself young? He knows, of course, we can't unless you know a very good hairdresser. And that's only for show. He says, you can't do even the least of those things. But don't worry about the rest. We're not creators like God is a creator. We're the pinnacle of his creation. We are living souls with an unfortunate sin nature that keeps getting us into lots of bother. And the only thing that we can do, we can't save ourselves. The Bible says so. We're going to die like men. Doesn't matter how spiritual you are. Doesn't matter how advanced you are. Doesn't matter if you've even remembered that you're an alien, like John Travolta and Tom Cruise. Still going to die like men. And given that, I think the smart thing to do would be to make sure you put your faith in the one true God. The Father in heaven that loved us so much that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to give his life on the cross for us. And whenever he went back up into heaven, the Holy Spirit was instructed to accompany those that trust him for the rest of their lives until they're delivered into the presence of Jesus Christ for the last time and forever without a sin nature. You can't create universes, moons, a house. If you can do houses, you could put one at the back of the church for me. There are no takers for that. I think most times all we can do is create a mess and trust in God to help us sort it out. Forget about all that the world, the flesh, the devil is telling you. It changes from day to day. And put your faith in that book, the King James Bible. There's many a God out there will try and steal everything that you have. God wants to give you. The God of the Bible wants to give you everything that he has. Does it not say that we are joint heirs with Christ? We are going to inherit the earth. We're going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Because he loves us. There's nobody else offering that. I'm going to tell you, friends, there's nobody else delivering all of it except the God of the Bible. Yes, there are plenty of gods. Plenty of things for us to waste our lives and time and money and health and strength with. But there's only one God that will save your soul. If you find him as your Saviour, amen and God bless you. Keep in with him. And he will steer you right in this world. And if there was ever a time in the whole history of man when people needed God to help them out, it's right now, let me tell you. So keep chasing after him. Keep pursuing his will. Keep reading his word. Keep fueling yourself up. And keep on keeping on. It is quite literally the best life to live. And it helps you sleep in your bed at night. Stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Right. What was that hymn, Norma? Fight the good fight, if I remember correctly. Oh, who was on the Lord's side? And here was one of those fighty songs. 406. Let's stand as we sing. Amen. Let's make a joyful noise. This is a good old rouse.
Who will be the world's side? Who?
good end to a great day. Good to see your faces, even if they're a little bit tanned and browner. But it's good to see you. Safe journeys home. God bless you. Keep your eyes in the book. Keeping your hands and knees in prayer. And not go too far wrong. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Please bless it to us. And as we go home, please, Lord, please see us safe there and back at the next appointed time. We pray for all manner of wisdom and strength, Lord, as we go through the week. Let us test you and prove you in the eyes of those that are still making decisions. We love you and thank you. And we ask for all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Gentlemen and ladies, we are dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.